This is KYUK Public Radio for the Yukon-Kuskokwim Delta. I'm Evan Erickson. A woman has been found dead in Gwigilingok 2 days after a devastating storm hit the Kuskokwim Delta coast. The woman's name has not been released publicly. Alaska State Troopers say they're working to notify her next of kin. Reached by phone Monday evening, spokesperson Austin McDaniel said troopers are actively searching for two people who are still missing from Gwigilingok. Gwigilingok was one of the hardest hit communities in the October 11th storm. Kipnuk, roughly 30 miles west, was also battered by high winds and record-breaking flooding, but troopers say everyone from that community has been accounted for. The first group of evacuees from coastal villages flooded by the fall storm have arrived in Bethel, according to the Yukon-Kuskokwim Health Corporation. They're staying at the Alaska Army National Guard Readiness Center, which has been prepared as a 100-bed shelter. Evacuees are arriving from Gwigilingok and Kipnuk, the villages hardest hit by the remnants of Typhoon Halong. As of Monday evening, YKHC expected dozens of people from the two communities to be housed in the shelter overnight. YKHC's communications department said people arriving at the shelter would be screened for medical needs, and behavioral health staff would also be on site for support. NANA Management Services provided food for the shelter Monday evening. NMS also manages the Kavaktovik Customer Lodge, where patients stay when traveling to Bethel for medical appointments. Regional tribal organization, the Association of Village Council Presidents, is accepting supply donations to support families sheltering in the Bethel Armory. They're asking for water, prepared meals, warm clothing, blankets, hygiene supplies, baby formula, diapers, flashlights, batteries, and phone chargers. All donations can be dropped off at the Bethel Search and Rescue Building, located at 499 Chief Eddie Hoffman Highway, across from the Lions Club Park. Grant Aviation is also accepting clothing and non-perishable food donations, which can be dropped off in their freight department. AVCP and local partners are also accepting monetary donations through a statewide fundraising effort under the Western Alaska Disaster Relief 2025 Fund. To find additional ways to donate and help with the relief effort, visit kyuk.org for the latest updates. Two people are still missing and 51 have been rescued following the record-breaking storm that slammed into the YK Delta on Sunday. As Alaska Public Media's Eric Stone reports, officials say search and rescue efforts are ongoing.
Coast Guard Commander for Western Alaska Christopher Culpepper compares the devastation in Southwest Alaska villages to the aftermath of Hurricane Katrina.
Several of these villages have been completely devastated, absolutely flooded, several feet deep. And so this took homes off of foundations. This took people into peril where folks were swimming, floating, trying to find debris to hold on to in the cover of darkness at nighttime.
Culpepper spoke alongside numerous officials at a news conference on Monday, a day after the remnants of Typhoon Halong barreled into remote coastal communities in the Yukon-Kuskokwim Delta. The storm hit the villages of Kipnuk and Gwigilingok especially hard. The storm brought winds of over 100 miles per hour and record floodwaters. Helicopters, planes, drones, ships, and pararescuers from the Coast Guard, National Guard, and other agencies worked through the night and are still searching for three people missing from Gwigilingok. Hundreds of survivors are in communities. Shelters. Mark Roberts, head of the State Emergency Operations Center, says locating every missing person is a top priority. He says officials continue to take stock of the extensive damage. The storm destroyed dozens of homes. Some of them floated off their foundations with families still inside. Several used cell phones to call for help.
It's been very scary. Very, very scary for folks. Let me tell you, the folks that were in houses that were floating and didn't know where they were was one of the most tragic things our folks in the state OC has ever faced.
The storm cracked the runway at the airport in Kipnuk, preventing planes from landing. It snapped utility poles in half, leading to power outages. Alaska National Guard head Torrance Sack says he's activated every member of the state's National Guard and Alaska State Defense Force living in Western Alaska. He says that's about 60 to 80 people, and more are set to join.
This may end up being the largest off-the-road system response for the National Guard in about 45 years.
Meteorologist David Kramer with the National Weather Service says in Kipnuk, the water reached 6.6 feet above the normal highest tide mark.
Previous record was 4.7 feet, and that was back in 2000. So almost 2 feet higher than what we have seen before for Kipnuk. Quite a big difference.
The search at Gwigilingok also broke a record high set last year. In addition to its search and rescue mission, the Coast Guard is also focused on a potential marine disaster. By midday, the only pollution reported was a light sheen in the floodwaters, but the damaged area includes dozens of bulk fuel tanks and other fuel storage facilities. Here's Culpepper with the Coast Guard.
These facilities are those that which the communities rely upon for home heating oil, subsistence through winter, for travel, for fuel for vehicles, boats, aircraft, and their critical assets.
But for now, Governor Mike Dunleavy says spilled oil is a lower priority than search and rescue and recovery.
We got to take care of people quickly. We have to take care of their needs quickly. We have to take care of water, food, sanitation, electricity.
State officials say dozens of nonprofit organizations, businesses, and faith-based groups are also coordinating recovery efforts with the state. Dunleavy has declared a disaster for the region, easing access to additional resources.
We know you need help. We're going to continue to get the help to you. We're going to do everything we can to get everything up and running as quickly as possible. And we will continue to help, not just today, tomorrow, but weeks and months on, and until we get things back to what used to be at least considered semi-normal.
Dunleavy and members of Alaska's congressional delegation say they plan to visit the region as soon as later this week. With additional reporting from Liz Ruskin, reporting in Juneau, I'm Eric Stone.
Days before Typhoon Halong wreaked havoc on western Alaska, nearly 100 residents from the village of Shaktuluk evacuated to nearby Unalakleet. Both communities avoided major damage, but as KNOM's Ben Townsend reports, it created a special opportunity for elders from around the Norton Sound region to reconnect.
Memories of 2022's ex-Typhoon Murbach are still fresh in the minds of Norton Sound residents. Millions of dollars in damages were reported and livelihoods were upended. So when forecasters announced that another ex-typhoon was on a collision course with the region, preparations were already underway in the village of Shaktuluk to ensure the safety of its residents.
They figured they had potentially 38 people that would need to evacuate from Shaktuluk.
That's Native Village of Unalakleet General Manager Tracy Cooper. She says she received an email from officials with the city of Shaktuluk Friday. By the time it hit her inbox, some residents were already making the 35-mile journey to Unalakleet by boat. On Saturday, planes operated by regional airline Bering Air and the Bering Strait School District were also flying in residents. In total, 88 people made the short trip to Unalakleet, just over half of the people in Shaktuluk at the time. Unalakleet resident Donna Erickson planned to stay home to ride out the storm, but as winds picked up Saturday night, she and other elders were moved to higher ground at Unalakleet's Elders Assisted Living Facility.
I was told I had to pack a bag and immediately get off because our home is right on the beach.
When Erickson arrived, she says she saw staff gearing up for a long night, keeping watch on the evacuees.
Got there, I saw how tired they were, and I said, let me take over the kitchen, I'll feed everybody.
Another Unalakleet resident shuttled people to the facility and dropped off moose ribs and muktuk. Erickson says she went to work on the ingredients and dished out heaping piles of muktuk, a giant pan of cornbread, and bowls of moose stew. She says the elders could even tell the moose was harvested by a lake where it fed on sweet lily pads.
Because there are hunters, these old men, they really know the animals. They're real intimate with hunting and knowing all of the elder wisdom.
The facility overlooks Unalakleet from a hill northeast of town. The group sat around, sharing stories as they watched the storm roll in.
It was kind of eerie because the big, huge picture windows faces the ocean, the river, and the village, and we could see the whole place get totally flooded, all of the flats, and the road was just a little tiny strip of land.
Erickson says about 20 elders ended up spending the evening together Sunday, riding out the storm.
We ended up having couple hours of singing and playing guitars, and it turned out to be a very beautiful time for everybody.
Wind gusts peaked at 69 miles an hour just before noon Sunday, peeling up the roofs of several buildings, including Unalakleet's post office. But Village GM Cooper says she was grateful Unalakleet was spared from the worst of the storm.
This affected a lot of us to worry about folks in other villages. We're so interconnected and very thankful that this wasn't as bad as predicted, but our hearts go out to the folks there on the Delta and their search and rescue efforts there.
Bering Air resumed flights Monday and is working with the native village of Unalakleet to return the evacuees to Shaktulik, where only minor structural damage has been reported. In Nome, I'm Ben Townsend.
This is KYUK News. I'm Evan Erickson. Koyana for listening. Please share your news tips, comments, or suggestions. You can email us at news@kyuk.org or message us on Facebook. And stay tuned for Ryuktun Ganumchit coming up.